Welcome to Dakota Midday on South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Carl Gerke. Coming up, we'll talk with Lon Strohschein of Sioux Falls-based Raven Aerostar about the company's partnership with Google to develop balloon-powered internet access. Plus, Ted Stevens of the Omaha indie rock band Cursive joins the show. Cursive plays Saturday during the 605 Summer Classic in Sioux Falls. But first, it's Wednesday and time for a weekly discussion of the latest in state politics with the Dakota Political Junkies. And joining us is Seth Tupper, editor of the Mitchell Daily Republic. And Seth, thanks for your time.
You're welcome.
David Montgomery also scheduled to join us, but still waiting to get him on the phone. So, Seth, for now anyway, it's just you and me, if that's all right.
Okay.
I'll do my best.
Well,
we'll start off with something that you wrote. We'll start off with, as we've been talking about over the past few months, is the Senate race. And you wrote in your blog for the Mitchell Daily Republic that Mike Rounds' election is as close to a foregone conclusion as conclusions get in politics. The election is still about a year and a half away. Still a little early to write off Rick Wyland?
Well, it's always early. It's early to completely write him off. But I think the point I was making is just, you know, any realist who looks at the situation, who follows politics at all, would see that, you know, Rick Wyland was, you know, maybe the fourth choice among Democrats for the person to run for that seat. Democrats are at a registration disadvantage to Republicans, as they often have been in South Dakota. And the apparent Republican nominee is a former two-term governor who left office pretty popular and has a wide network of supporters and fundraisers out there. And so when you look at that situation, to envision any way that Rick Wyland could pull this off is a stretch. Now, obviously, like I said, you never completely write anybody off. I said it's as close to a foregone mm-hmm. conclusion as conclusions can get in politics, because again, you know, it's a long way from here to there, obviously, in the general election. But boy, to find a path for Rick Wyland to get to victory in a general election against a popular Republican in South Dakota is going to be pretty tough.
Well, it seemed that earlier this year, there might have been, it looked like this could have been a much more exciting Senate race, but it seems like a lot of the commentators who are following this race, that it seems like they're just saying, well, there's not much left to talk about, is there?
Well, you're right, and I think, you know, for those of us who follow politics, it's a little disappointing, and also for the Democratic Party in the state, I think it's disappointing. You know, I don't have anything personal against Rick Wyland. I'm sure he's a fine individual, but he doesn't have the name recognition or the political experience of a Stephanie Hirsch-Sandlin, or even a Brendan Johnson, who's never served in political office, but at least has been has the name recognition and has served in an appointed office as U.S. attorney. And it's really disappointing for Democrats. I mean, this is Tim Johnson's seat, and it's not as though, you know, this was a surprise that Tim Johnson was going to retire. I mean, with his age and the health problems that he's had, you know, I think there's been plenty of opportunity for Democrats to plan ahead who's going to run for this seat, how can they protect this seat and retain it. And so to now be in a situation where, you know, all the candidates that everybody is excited about passed on the opportunity, and the best they can do is a guy who lost a couple elections years ago and really isn't known at all to the general electorate in South Dakota. That's the guy they put up there. I think that's a major disappointment and a major letdown for the party.
Also with us now is David Montgomery, political reporter of the Sioux Falls Argus Leader, where he also writes the Political Smokeout blog. And David, thanks for joining us on the program today.
Thanks for having me on. Sorry for being a little bit late here.
Oh, no problem at all. Talking about the Senate race, and in particular Rick Wyland. And he was on Dakota Midday yesterday. Actually, an interview happened the week before, and he said that he's running a campaign to take our country back from a big money. David, is this an issue that is of concern to South Dakota voters? Is it something that's going to resonate to get him the attention that he needs to wage a competitive campaign?
It's always hard to say what is going to resonate with the voters. But at this point, I would guess this is at most probably a minor concern for most voters. Generally speaking, voters across the country generally don't make a big deal out of process issues about funding and things like that. There are of course exceptions to that, but generally speaking, voters tend to care much more about policy things, things that affect their pocketbook, moral issues, things like that, than they do about questions of how the process works and how the campaign runs. Which is not to say that Rick Wyland is making some sort of mistake by talking about this. There are some voters who care about this a great deal, and if he's building a campaign theme, this can play into a bigger picture that could help him take sort of a populist stance that has at some points in the past resonated in South Dakota.
Seth Tupper, do you think that's a good way to sort of get the campaign off the ground anyway, that issue, big money?
No, I don't. I think it's pretty much an acknowledgement of the fact that he's not going to be able to raise near as much money as his apparent opponent, Mike Grounds. And so he's doing his best to turn that weakness into a strength. But, if you read between the lines, it's basically just an acknowledgement that, hey, I'm going to have a struggle to raise money, and therefore I'm just going to talk about how bad money is in politics. And, I don't think that's going to get him very far.
Well, to a certain extent, they're just having to make the best of a bad situation. Seth is right in that point.
Yeah, and fundraising, I guess that was the big news last week. Mike Rounds saying that he'll raise $9 million for his Senate campaign. David, do you think he'll be able to raise that much money?
I think it's possible he can raise that much money. As a goal, it's achievable, although it's certainly a bit of a reach. It's more than most Senate campaigns in South Dakota have ever raised. For Mike Rounds to reach that goal, he's going to have to do things very well in terms of raising money and attracting interest in his race, but not too well, because if his campaign goes too well, then it's not going to be a close race. It's going to be a blowout, and people aren't going to want to give money to a candidate who doesn't need it, and they're going to send that some of those millions that Mike Rounds is aiming to raise to other candidates in closer races. So if Mike Rounds does his fundraising well enough to raise that money, but also stays in a relatively close race where there's a certain amount of danger, and he can make an appeal to Republican donors and that he is a good investment for their money, then he could raise that $9 million. But I said he could fall short of that by not doing well enough or by doing too well.
Does he need to raise that much money, David?
That's hard to say. From talking to his campaign, when you ask them why they need the $9 million, they don't mention Rick Wyland. What they're talking about are the outside groups that can come in, and I think particularly the outside conservative groups that have been making a lot of noise for several months now about how they don't think Mike Rounds is conservative enough. And that's who they talk about when they say that what they're going to need to spend the money on. Although there also is some concern about outside Democratic groups coming in. And if those groups feel that Mike Rounds is vulnerable, they can raise money with far fewer restrictions than candidates or political parties can, in some cases taking unlimited donations. And they have the capability to spend a lot of money very quickly in South Dakota. And I think the Rounds campaign, while to a certain extent this number is sort of a threat to people to suggest that they look elsewhere for spending their money. I think there's also a certain amount of reality behind it, that he's trying to say that if you come at me, that he's going to be able to hit back.
So Seth Tupper, you think that's the reason why his campaign would announce his fundraising goals, is just say, hey, we've got all this money, don't bother challenging us?
I think there may be some gamesmanship there, yes. As David mentioned, there's rumblings of people trying to challenge Mike Rounds in a primary. There's obviously some big names on the Democratic side that so far we don't think are in the race, but maybe he is anticipating there's still some people out there thinking about it. And obviously by announcing that, hey, I'm in this for real, I'm going to raise this kind of big money, he's sort of laying the gauntlet down and saying, you know, if you're thinking about this, you might want to think again to the opponents. And whether he can raise that money, I don't, you know, with Rick Weiland as his opponent, I don't think he can, and I don't think he will, because I think, as David mentioned, you know, if the race isn't incredibly close, or people don't see a real chance, or don't see that their candidate really needs the money, then they're not going to give it as much. And you know, if this was Rounds versus Herseth Sandlin, maybe even Rounds versus Johnson, you've got the perception of a close battle of the Titans, so to speak, and would really probably draw in the money. But at this point, I don't see that money is going to be needed or spent on this race right now.
In talking about rumblings for Republican challengers to Mike Rounds, there's a Sioux Falls physician who's looking into challenging him in the Republican Senate primary. That's Dr. Annette Bosworth, and she's holding a meet and greet in Mitchell this evening. David, you've written a little bit about her. Who is she?
Annette Bosworth is a physician. To the degree that most members of the public might know her, it would be from some highly public battles that she has held with some of the state medical establishment, some accusations back and forth about not doing her job versus them being them persecuting her. And part of the reason that was so public was that she chose to make them public. And just relatively recently, she came out and acknowledged that she was considering running, has been meeting with a number of major groups seeking support, and is going around the state trying to see if, in her words, if South Dakota wants her, if it wants her to run for the race. She's not a politician. She's never run for anything. Doesn't have some of the practice and skill that people who've been through this game a couple times have. So it's hard to say what her potential is. She's probably going to be a bumpy ride. She's going to make some rookie mistakes that people like Mike Rounds have long since got out of their system. But she's certainly has the potential to be interesting, although I don't think people yet are viewing her as a serious threat to Mike Rounds. It's possible that she could evolve into that.
Will Seth Tupper, do candidates like Annette Bosworth, who don't have much, or in this case, no political experience, do they have much success? Is there much of a track record in having success? And you know, this is a big office, U.S. Senate. Much success there?
Well, I think, you know, they have to catch lightning in a bottle if they're going to have a chance, and there has to be a perfect set of circumstances. And I don't know that exists here. You know, I mean, again, when you look at Mike Rounds, you have to remember, statewide, he won two elections for governor. Is there going to be that much anger directed at him that people want to keep him out of the Senate in favor of somebody who has no experience? I'm not sure about that. But, of course, we do still have, you know, the well-chronicled split in the Republican Party between the more conservative Tea Party wing of the party and the more moderate wing of the party. I don't know much about Annette Bosworth. We're going to have a reporter visit with her today. If she's going to potentially challenge Mike Rounds in a primary, I would assume she's more from the farther right conservative wing of the party. But I don't know that she's made many public statements that would be the case either. So, you know, she's a wild card, and who knows? I guess we'll have to wait and see what she says when she makes herself available, and we'll try to hit her up with some questions we have tonight.
David Montgomery, are you hearing from any other Republicans who have expressed interest publicly about running for Senate?
Well, there's a few. Current State Representative Stace Nelson has acknowledged interest and now says that he's is deferring to another candidate who he hasn't named. That candidate might be Mark Venner, a former state lawmaker from Pierre, who has said that he's considering this race. Venner served one term in the state legislature, had a reputation as one of the more conservative lawmakers there. Doesn't appear, at least on the face of things, to have some of the weaknesses and skeletons in his closet, although who knows if those things will emerge. I think what you're seeing now that Kristi Noem has said that she's not going to run, is candidates are just tossing their hats into the ring, sort of throwing up their candidacy against the wall and seeing if it sticks with the voters. A number of these people who declare interest or even enter the race may not be around come the primary. I think you're seeing people enter and then drop out as they don't gain traction. But it doesn't cost you too much now to explore a run and see if the voters are interested in you.
Well, moving on from the Senate race in the last couple of minutes we have here, the U.S. House is set up to take up the 2013 Farm Bill after the Senate passed their version last week. Seth, what I'm reading is that there's still a lot of opposition from both sides of this political spectrum. Does it seem like it has much of a chance of passing in the House?
Well, you know, I read the same things with the debate being over more conservative members of the House wanting to cut a lot more out of food stamps than was done in the Senate version of the bill that recently passed. So, and we had read recently that President Obama has said he would veto the House bill if it makes such large cuts to the food stamp program. So, you know, I don't have any inside information on what will happen, but it certainly looks like if Congress can't come together on a farm bill and that issue continues to move down the road or get kicked the can down the road, to borrow an overused cliche in the political world right now, but that could be an issue, obviously, in the races we're talking about, and could be an interesting one. At least we'll give some of the candidates something to talk about, and it's interesting that it was an issue in the last election, and it still is here when we're getting to the next election, so there's been some serious delay on that issue.
Representative Noem was quite vocal last year in working to get that version of the Farm Bill passed. David, I haven't heard much from the Noem office this week. Any word on her support or non-support of the Farm Bill, of this version?
Christy Noem has supported the House version of the Farm Bill, which makes some pretty steep cuts to the food stamp program. She has defended those cuts as needed reforms, and has been critical of efforts to soften those cuts. If there's a route to success for the Farm Bill, it's that the House passes their version to join the Senate version, and then in conference committee some sort of compromise is passed. The House version will probably pass with mostly Republican votes. Democrats, I think Nancy Pelosi announced that most Democrats will oppose that. And the Senate version passed with largely, although not exclusively, Democratic votes. And the question is if some sort of compromise moves both versions toward each other, if a majority can be found in both chambers to pass the bill. If the cuts get watered down, maybe you lose some Republicans, but more Democrats come on board. Republicans can say that they voted against the Farm Bill in its first form, or Democrats can say that and then take the second vote and actually pass the thing.
Well, that's all the time we have today. We'll have to see what happens with the Farm Bill and the House. David, thanks so much for taking the time to join us on Dakota Midday.
Happy to be here.
And Seth, thanks for your time as well.
You're welcome.
David Montgomery is political reporter of the Sioux Falls Argus Leader, where he also writes the Political Smokeout blog. And Seth Tupper is editor of the Mitchell Daily Republic. The Dakota Political Junkies are a regular Wednesday feature of Dakota Midday. You're listening to South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Carl Gerke. Coming up after a short break, we'll hear about Raven Industries' partnership with Google developing balloon-powered internet access. And then later this hour, Ted Stevens of the Omaha indie rock band Cursive joins the show. Cursive plays Saturday evening during the 6:05 Summer Classic in Sioux Falls.